You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
So excited for today's interview. Neil deGrasse Tyson, our favorite, a world-renowned astrophysicist, joins us on the podcast to talk about his new book, To Infinity and Beyond, A Journey of Cosmic Discovery. And joining me on the podcast, my best friend Gandhi, who's been a huge fan of him for years. So let's get weird. Let's talk aliens and space and the state of the world coming up on an all-new episode of Thinking Out Loud with Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, usually I do the podcast all by myself, but today my best friend Gandhi insisted on being in the room. Yes. Because we welcome Neil deGrasse Tyson to the podcast.
Hello. My first time on your podcast.
I know.
You don't call, you don't write. I mean, I'm around.
You know, just listening to your voice, it takes me back to Cosmos, because I used to listen to your voice all the time. It was so soothing.
Oh, you know, I hope it's not too soothing, because I want you to still learn whatever I'm talking about.
No matter what you say, we will learn.
Okay.
What a fantastic show that was.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's got the legacy of Carl Sagan, and co-written by his widow, Anne Druyan. And so she's the secret sauce behind all of that, because you can attach scientists to that kind of communication, but then it would just be a documentary. And when you think of Cosmos, you don't think documentary. It's something else, right?
It's
reaching
fun.
You. It's fun. It's insightful. It's moving. It's emotional. It's and so all of that. Anne Druyan is the secret sauce that brought that to the science. And so she was for all three Cosmoses, if that's the plural of Cosmos.
The title scientist, is this a true story, Gandhi?
I believe it's a true story. I read recently that it was actually coined for a woman, because typically it was man of science in just one field, and she was a master at multiples, so they wanted to come up with a word for her. And William, I'm going to get the name wrong, somebody called her a scientist, and it stuck. Is this true?
I have not heard that. Who is the woman?
Mary Howell?
Oh.
And I probably got that wrong, too. So let me look that up while you guys continue.
As you can tell, we did a lot of research before the interview today.
I think I read a meme.
You're looking
at
it up
point.
Now during the show?
We're kind of throwing it out there.
I just said there are other scientific professions that have the same word format. So biologist, chemist, scientist, astrophysicist. So it doesn't sound heavily made up. It's in the spirit of the other ists.
Mary Somerville, coined by the philosopher William Waywell.
Okay, what year was that?
1834.
So you're suggesting that the word scientist didn't exist before then?
That's what this says.
Interesting.
I am suggesting that, but it came from the internet.
So. Because what they were called natural philosophers in the day. Isaac Newton wasn't even called a physicist. It was a natural philosopher.
Well, a lot of people thought he was just out of his mind.
Well, two-thirds of him was out of his mind.
But don't you need to be somewhat out of your mind to be successful at what you do,
I think the
Mr.
People,
Tyson?
Okay, I think the people out of their mind are the ones that get all the media attention.
Okay, we'll take that.
That doesn't mean people not out of their mind don't also make important contributions.
One of the reasons we invited Neil here today, his new book, To Infinity and Beyond, A Journey of Cosmic Discovery.
No, you didn't say it right. It's To Infinity and Beyond.
Oh my God, did you feel that?
Try it again.
It's like when mom used to sit on the washing machine. I never knew why she was sitting there all day. What is she doing, this woman? Anyway, I want to get into the book. I want to take you back to, I want you to come with me back to middle school in McKinney, Texas, where I grew up.
Uh-huh.
Getting on the big yellow school bus and going to Dallas to sit in this big round room that was dark and watching.
Our first time in such rooms are never forgotten.
And watching the stars and the planets go by.
Yes.
And I remember walking out of that room crying, and I really could not explain to anyone why it was hitting me emotionally.
Wow.
Going to a planetarium, and is that where you found
it? Everyone remembers their first time in a planetarium. It was the first, think about it, today you wouldn't say it this way, but in the day, it was everyone's first virtual reality experience. You go in, the lights dim, the stars come out, and you are transported psychologically, emotionally, and is a journey through and among the stars. So a planetarium, I don't take that lightly, people's first visit. Oh, man. And then I'm director of the Hayden Planetarium, which is my first night sky as a kid growing up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How many years ago?
I was 9 years old. And my first visit, it was like, oh, that's an interesting shaped room. It's round, and there's this big bug-looking thing in the middle. What does that do? And the lights went out. And at that point, I have to say, the universe called me. I had no say in the matter.
I can't tell you how many times I've been to the Hayden Planetarium. I love it. So thanks for everything that you do over there, because it's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah. Have you ever been not on psychedelics?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But in the day, see, some people, their first encounter with the planetarium was Pink Floyd, the Laser Floyd.
Absolutely. Oh, that's how they entice people to come
they
in.
They try to get there's a whole demographic that's too cool for school, right?
Otherwise, they would never have shown up.
Yeah, exactly. So you bring them in with Laser Floyd. But what happened was, I thought about this. The moment lasers became impulse items at the checkout line of Kmart, you would not pay to see lasers in a sky show. You just in a planetarium dome. Lasers are not the point of intrigue that they once were. So I think that's part of what made it go out of style.
So after that first visit to Hayden, is that when you got the bug?
Yes.
And is that when your journey began?
Yes. My journey of cosmic discovery.
What was the first book you ever bought related to the
experience? So I didn't buy books. I didn't know how to do that.
Okay.
But my mother, my parents, upon seeing this interest, fed that interest. Okay. This was very different from other, one day I'll write a book on education and explore all of this, but you have a lot of wishful parents buying their kid a chemistry set, even if the kids had shown no interest in it, or buying them a telescope, even though they're like wishful. My parents never behaved that way. They didn't, they were not, they just observed us, my sister, my brother, and me, observed us, watched what our interest manifest as they manifested, and then fed that. My brother liked art. So on the weekends we would go to all the various cultural offerings institutions of the city. So one of them, we went to the Museum of Natural History, which has the Hayden Planetarium. I was hooked. We went to art museums, okay, many in New York City. My brother got hooked. He went to the High School of Music and Art, and now he's an art professor. And my sister, she became the sellout, but that's fine. Okay. She's a corporate executive.
Ah.
But that's what I mean by sellout. But the point is, these early exposures, my parents would then feed them. And so they saw I was interested. So they would go to bookstores and buy books from the remainder table. Do they still have remainder tables?
Do they still have bookstores?
That's the real answer.
I don't know.
So, and books for 25 cents. I would later learn that when a publisher overprints their books and they got to make room in the warehouse, they shake the tree, books fall out, they put them on the table. By middle school, I am certain, because I visited friends' homes, I had the largest library at all of anyone, and all those books won science and math and the universe, because my mother just bought anything they she saw, and the whole library, I had a whole shelves of library, and that probably cost her $15. So I can't identify a first book, but there was one book, it was published in 1970. It was just called Astronomy. It was a big coffee table picture book, and that was just beautiful. But then I was ready for more. I went to math, and then brain teasers and stuff to just train the mind to go beyond just whatever other forces that would have you go outside and play basketball.
So mom and dad were feeding. This is parenting 101.
Yes.
This is why mom and dad bought me an Easy Bake Oven.
Oh, there you go.
What happened to that?
But in the long term, it worked out for you because you are a very, very good cook. Borderline chef. You won't take credit for it, but you are.
Did you just call him a borderline chef?
Well, yeah, he won't claim chef because he says something about it's going to make other chefs mad. Or
Okay.
Don't listen to her. Uh-huh. This is about you, not me. Yeah. Stop it. Mm-hmm. So when Gandhi and I were sitting down earlier to talk about what we were going to talk about, she said, well, I have things I need to bring up, including you actually saw Neil at an event in Boston, I believe.
I went to a lecture that you were having in Boston 5 years ago.
Oh.
And
that might have been in the Wilbur Theater.
It was.
Oh my gosh.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was actually in the sister theater of the Wilbur Theater.
Oh, sister, okay.
Yeah, which I cannot remember the name of it. So sad. But it was amazing. And
because I give about 40 public talks a year in cities across the country, typically in the theaters. So many towns have the Grand Dam Theater that mm-hmm. used to have the movies, but now they usually get renovated, and now it's just, you know, comedians will sometimes Broadway comes through with the traveling troupe. And so I give a public talk, and I will never grow accustomed to the fact that thousands of people show up just to hear an astrophysicist talk for 2 hours.
Hell yeah.
That was not just a yeah, that was like a hell. So thank you for coming.
It was great, and it was so informative, and I had questions, but we weren't allowed to ask any questions at the end, so I've been saving this in my brain for 5 years.
Well, wow. I know, but it may well, it's a butt, but I saw you.
Everybody's got a big butt. Said Pee Wee Herman, rest in peace.
Oh, too soon.
Yeah, too soon. Yeah.
Okay, so in that lecture, I'm going to obviously paraphrase. You said something to the effect of, you don't believe that any of the alien things at that time that people were talking about were necessarily real, and there wasn't a ton of proof.
Have said I don't believe. I would have said I'm not convinced by what they put forth as evidence.
Okay.
Yeah, that's different.
That's exactly what I meant.
Well, because belief is, you know, people have beliefs and they don't require evidence, right?
Right.
Or hard evidence. So it's not about belief. It's about, you want me to think this is true. Do you have evidence enough to
exactly
convince me? Right.
Which I have another question about belief in a minute. But okay, so you said there wasn't any evidence. You didn't.
Insufficient evidence.
Yes,
right.
Insufficient evidence. So you said it was based on the fact that maybe if there was another form of life or some type of intelligent being or beings, they probably would not crash something into our planet.
Oh,
they'd be so far advanced.
I just thought, they have all these crashed aliens.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to meet them. They can't navigate. Plus, wait. Show me the ones that don't crash. But apart from that, like, really? You're going to have a flying saucer or whatever the hell your ship is. You're way smarter than we are. You're going to cross the galaxy and accidentally crash on Earth? Really?
Right. Like, so that's really where my question comes in.
You want me to accept that premise?
Well, here where she's going.
Okay.
So pretty much the next thing that you talked about was Cassini. And we sent this thing out to Saturn to explore the rings and go back and forth. And then it used all of its energy.
Yes.
And we purposely crashed it into Saturn.
Yes, we did.
So why couldn't that work both ways?
Oh, if they had actual aliens on board, I don't see why they would purposefully crash it.
What if they're so smart that they can, as soon as it crashes, they extract them? We don't know anything about it. They take all the technology just
see,
left
now you're off the rails.
You see, it was actually,
and then they come from another dimension, and then they disappeared, and they reappeared over there. Hi, could that happen?
Right? This was going somewhere for a second.
I'm saying, we don't know. We have no idea. But at this point, with all of these congressional hearings and everything that's happening, how do you feel?
You want to be open-minded, for sure, but you don't want to be so open-minded that your brains spill out.
I can't help that.
Preventing you losing the capacity to evaluate the integrity of your thoughts.
Well, let's go to the recent congressional hearings. Did you watch? Did you read up? What were you? Just a broad.
What's my takeaway?
Broad stroke takeaway.
My takeaway is, oh my gosh, Republicans and Democrats are together.
Okay, there you go. We'll be right back.
What? Oh, look, we had AOC
right
on the same platform as the staunch Republicans,
right?
And they're all just sharing the time quizzing someone about aliens. So I thought, that's the ticket. We need to be invaded by aliens, and then all the Democrats and Republicans will come together.
But I think
that's my takeaway.
Most of them are aliens, I think. But no, but did you walk away with anything in your mind or heart or soul thinking, okay, here's something we need to evaluate? Did they give you any information that you did not already believe to be true?
No, we should always be evaluating everything.
Right.
Okay? That's what curiosity is about. But if you have, by the way, NASA's been looking for aliens, and my field, people in my field, have been looking for aliens for decades, okay? At least 60 years. We've actually sent signals out. They're still traveling to their destination, but just to show you, it's not like we are resistant to there being aliens. So we have someone in particular, a person testifying, saying, I paraphrase, that he has aliens in the closet, and he doesn't want anyone to see it. And even members of Congress who allocate funds for the branch of the government that he serves, apparently they haven't seen it either, even though they had security clearance. So here's my point. If you have an alien in the closet that no one can see, and you're the only one who knows is there, and you're not going to show it to anyone, from the point of view of a scientist, that's the same thing as having no alien in the closet.
I see. I get that.
Right? There's no difference. So when we came back from the moon with moon rocks, we shared the moon rocks with the world, with the scientists of the world, because that's what you do when you discover something.
But people aren't afraid of moon rocks. A lot of people are afraid of these things, the creepy crawlies.
How afraid can you be if he's got it in a closet? I mean, how scary is it? Could it be?
Not much of a fight.
I happen to agree
with
you.
Not much of a fight. Oh, no, but then he said some people were alien injured. I'd never heard that phrase, but alien injured. But they didn't call 911. They didn't take a picture of the alien, which, of course, they could have with a high-resolution color photo or video, which everyone has attached to their hips,
right,
which can take way better photos than those images that the Navy took with the fuzzy tic-tac in the monochromatic screen. So I just need better evidence. I'm not asking for much. And we have so NASA will likely develop an app where if you see something weirder in the sky, you take it with your smartphone and then send it to this clearinghouse.
Good idea.
And you send the metadata. So it has, you know, what angle in the sky, what coordinate on Earth. And it'll have all this information and we can coordinate it. There might be some things to discover. There might even be aliens to discover. Maybe some of these things people are seeing are aliens. But what they're bringing forth as evidence will not convince a skeptic.
Going back to something you said earlier, shooting signals out into outer space.
Yeah.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah, in retrospect, I want to rethink that. Because actually, we're giving... Okay, here it is. It's worse than that. Ever since the 1930s, where we figured out how to communicate using radio waves, there are frequencies of radio waves that don't get trapped in our atmosphere that escape. Okay, you came from terrestrial radio, didn't you?
I'm still there.
FM radio goes in straight lines. Mm-hmm. Okay? No one cares about this anymore, but it's a little fact. FM, straight lines from the broadcast antenna, which means if you are beyond the horizon of that signal, you cannot receive that FM channel.
This is why our ratings are awful in outer space. But AM.
Whereas AM has a frequency of radio waves that reflects off of our ionosphere. This is a charged layer in our atmosphere that can reflect radio waves. So AM signals can go up and come back down and go beyond the curvature of the Earth, which is why you can get AM stations from hundreds of miles away.
So we've been sending out waves whether we like it or not.
So FM waves have been escaping Earth for 70 years. And TV waves escape the Earth as well. That's why you can't get TV over the horizon in the old days when you had rabbit ear antennas. I'm dating myself here. So, but it matters because that's the origin of our radio bubble. Our radio bubble is right now 80 light years in radius, expanding at the speed of light. And it has washed over, I forgot the last count, certainly dozens of exoplanets that we've discovered, planets orbiting other stars. So if there's life forms, intelligent, that know how to decode our radio signals, they will know everything about us, starting with the earliest TV broadcast. They'll learn how humans get men and women treat each other in I Love Lucy. They'll see what our jokes are like in Howdy Doody.
That was my example, I Love Lucy.
Okay? Or the Honeymooners, right? Bang zoom to the moon, Alice.
Oh, my God.
Back when that was a joke, okay? It's unthinkable that anyone would write that today. But that's what the aliens will first see. That'll be their exposure to our culture. And so they'll know all about us. And they'll triangulate right back on Earth.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Well, let's move away from aliens, sort of. I know that of late we've had more news about scientists discovering several with these exoplanets that have Earth-like characteristics, like, you know, the rocky composition, an ocean. Right. I mean, you were just reading the story the other day.
Yeah. Not long ago, they found a planet that they said was very Earth-like. I think TOI-733.
Yeah.
B. Was there a B on there? Something like that. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's habitable. But what does that mean?
Yeah. So we're very biased, but understandably so, about how we look for life. What we do when we look for life as we know it. And life as we know it on Earth thrives in liquid water. Even the Dead Sea has life in it. But the fact that anybody called it dead meant they didn't know about microscopes. Okay? It hadn't been invented yet.
Right.
All right. So there are no macroscopic fishes, but there's microscopic life. There's life anywhere we see, even in hot vents in the bottom of the ocean. So we say, and NASA's mantra is follow the water. If you find water out there, liquid water. So where are you going to find liquid water? On a planet around a star, not too close. The heat will evaporate the water and it'll make, you know, and then you don't have liquid. If it's not too far away, it'll freeze. Can't have life using ice. So there's a zone, and it's called the habitable zone. But early on, I said that has way too many syllables. I just called it the Goldilocks zone, which made way more sense to me. And that's pretty much what everybody calls it. The Goldilocks.
It's just right.
Yeah, it's just right. And so if you find a planet Earth size just right, then it can sustain liquid water doesn't have to, but it can. But that result that you found, that you're reporting on, is another level. It's, all right, so what? If it might have liquid water, how are you going to know if there's life? We can't zoom in. The telescope's not that good, all right? So you can't even see life from the moon on Earth. You know, you're not going to see people walking around waving to you. So go across, you know, to another star system? No. So here's what we do. It's very clever. We wait for the planet to move in front of the host star in its orbit. And then we use the James Webb Space Telescope to analyze the starlight passing through the atmosphere to us. And the gas in that atmosphere leaves a fingerprint on that light. And so we found methane in the atmosphere. We found carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Methane is an ingredient that is, we can get it by non-biological causes. But you can definitely get it by biological causes.
Like farts. Right?
Okay. I was going to like work my way up to that.
Oh, sorry.
But I was going to say, methane, such as what the gases you would find in the lower intestines of farm animals.
You're going to be classy.
Yeah.
Gassy classy.
Gassy classy. So, yeah. So there are anaerobic life forms release methane as a result of their, so deep in their intestines, there's no oxygen. So, but there's still life there. So life in the absence of oxygen gives off methane, which, by the way, I don't know if you ever tested this at camp, it actually is flammable.
It is.
Oh, Lord.
I learned so much at camp.
It's a camp thing, right. I don't know if the girls did it, but the boys were definitely testing it.
No, I don't remember a lot of that.
Yeah.
Well, the day is young.
It is.
We can experiment right now.
Right. So it's a way, so these are biomarkers that allow us to explore the possibility of life's influence on the atmosphere without actually seeing if they're cities or plant life or anything, which we wouldn't be able to. By the way, the book is precisely that journey.
Talk about it.
Well, when you think about it, you go back in time, pick how many centuries, it won't matter. If you're standing here on Earth and look up and you see the moon, you say, how would I get to the moon? Think about that. Can you run? Can you jump? Do you climb a mountain and jump again? Like, what do? You have to understand air first, because you have to ascend into the air. Then is air go all the way to the moon? Then you have to figure out, well, hot air rises. This was not clearly known. We all know it today, but people have to like figure that. And you can trap the hot air in a balloon, in a vessel, call it a balloon, and then get in a gondola and then ascend. Why not? That's got to be better than Icarus with his wax wings that melted. You know, people gave up after that. And I'm saying, no. You say, next time I try this, I'm not going to make wings out of wax.
We learned.
Okay. You can learn from other people's mistakes. All right. Just don't say, let's give up. So I'm thankful that in our species, there's a subset who remain curious, even in the face of failure. And we call them scientists and engineers, people who want to solve problems. By the way, I think the whole population splits into those two, even in the workplace. Surely you've given a task to someone new and they say, this is not on my resume. I'm not trained for this. You give it to someone else and say, wow, I've never seen this before. Great. Let me try to solve it. That's a whole other kind of person.
Right.
And you know that you've seen these people.
And that's you.
Oh, yeah. If there's something I don't understand, that you're not going to see me for 2 days until I come back with some insight into it, because that's where the excitement is. When I was a 9-year-old kid in the planetarium, the immensity of the universe, it's not how much we knew that attracted me, it's how much we were yet to discover. That is the voice of the universe calling to me.
See, this isn't 10-year-old Neil talking to us now. This is a Neil who's been learning nonstop. I mean,
by the way, the nonstop, I can't tell you how important that is. Many people graduate high school, if that's your terminal degree, or college, and what do? They run down the steps, they say, school's out, and they throw their books into the air. There's even a rock anthem on this.
School's out for summer.
Yeah, school's out for summer. School's out forever.
Right.
Okay, now who was that? That was...
I have no
you idea. Know
oh.
them. Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Totally not Casey and the Sunshine Band.
But
anyhow, that anthem celebrates not learning. Think about that, okay?
Is this how you are so excellent at explaining things that most of us don't understand and putting it in a language we do understand it, because you used to be the guy who didn't know everything, and now you know a lot.
How do I know a lot? Sure, but it's not that I know. It's not some magic thing. It's that. How is it that you can be glad that school is over? Your only job was to learn. Yet you're looking at the clock, waiting for the school bell. You can't wait till May or June comes around, so school's over. Can't wait for summer to come. What is so... So then I realized I can't blame the students. I can't. It's Alice Cooper sang that song,
yes,
right? I can't blame the students. I blame the school. The school shouldn't be about how much it can cram into your empty mind. It should be about stimulating your curiosity so that you have unlimited capacity to learn even beyond your years in school. You don't want to ossify in place. Adults that can't see change around them, they're stuck in whatever they learned about the world the day they graduated. And that became their worldview evermore. All I'm saying is, if you become a lifelong learner, you will learn way more in your life than you ever were taught in school. Imagine how different the world would be. And so what we do in this book, I have a co-author, Lindsay Walker, who's a 9-year senior producer of Star Talk. Oh, it's a Star Talk collaboration with National Geographic Book. By the way, the book is just beautiful.
It is.
Because that's how Nat Geo rolls, just want to say.
Okay.
That's how they... You ever see an ugly Nat Geo book?
No. Everything Nat Geo does is all glossy
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful book. So it's a realizing that there are fits and starts in our attempt to understand how to make a discovery. This book is a celebration of the human spirit. It's a journey of the mind, body, and soul to ascend Earth into the air, into space, into the planets, the galaxy, the universe itself, and beyond. And so yeah, when you're a lifelong learner, everything that you don't know becomes the source of your next round of curiosity.
You know what I want you to do is parallel the book, of course, to infinity and beyond, a journey of cosmic discovery, to everyday life walking down the street. I mean, to me, it's about learning.
Okay,
It's about being aware. It's awareness.
I like right? that. I mean, I like
why
that.
In other words, why do we need to read a book gotcha. Like this?
You don't need to.
No.
I will not tell anybody. I will never tell people to do anything. I'm not even going to tell you to read the book.
Suggest why.
I can tell you how different you will be if you did read it.
Okay.
And then you choose whether you're interested in that bit of enlightenment.
Okay.
That it will bring.
Let's listen in, Gandhi.
Okay. So the book has three strands of DNA in it. The DNA of my podcast, Star Talk. I'm sorry, you're not the only podcast on the block. Just thought I'd tell you that.
What?
So the Star Talk is the podcast, and we blend, it's a tapestry, really, of science, pop culture, and humor. And what we learned is that when we present science that way, people come back for more. And then as an educator, that's a good thing. Let me do more of that, and then you get more of that. And part of what makes it work is everybody has a common pop culture scaffold that you carry with you. That's the definition of pop culture. I don't have to tell you who Beyonce is or what football is or who the Pope is or who Trump is or what, you know, or there's some hit movie. I don't have to re-explain all that. I know you walk into the room that way. And I study that. And I say, oh, here's a place when I can attach some science to that scaffold. And I attach it and it fits perfectly. And it fits into your world in such a way that you will never forget it because I made it relevant to what you already care about. I'm not starting from scratch. And so that's the value of this. So let's walk down this. I'll tell you a couple of things. All right. You're a professional in this space. All right. You have doors that outside the door, it says on the air. Okay. Back when it was broadcast, you're broadcasting radio waves. I just told you that radio waves travel through the vacuum of space out to, and right now it's 80 light years out. Radio waves don't need air. So on the air is a completely meaningless statement.
Never thought of that.
We have to burn the building down.
What a waste.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it should say on space. That's what it should say.
Next time you visit, that sign will be changed.
You know what needs air?
What?
Is sound waves need something to vibrate. Okay. But your voice was not getting to your listeners by the vibration of air from your studio to their car or to whatever they brought to the beach. No. It was first sent electronically, then broadcast mm-hmm. with radio waves. And so, yeah. So that's a little thing. Now, I bet you will never forget that in your whole life.
No.
Because it's attached to your livelihood.
And that's what you do with the chapters in this book.
Yes. Oh, yes. Plus other things. We talk about superheroes where they're... Oh, by the way, it all relates to this arc of discovery, right? Where there's a... It's not a total off-ramp, but it's scenery, right? As we go by a topic, we... what's that mantra from Top Gun? I feel the need for speed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They don't really mean that. That it's false.
What do they mean?
They don't even know that they don't mean it. That's the, okay. So
please explain yourself.
Explain. I can explain. So Earth is going 18 miles per second around the sun. Is that not fast enough for you? Okay. The sun and all the planets are moving around the center of the galaxy. Like 300, I forgot that, 300 miles, no, 150 miles per second. I got to double check that number, but it's around that size. Miles per second around the center of the galaxy. We're rotating on Earth. Here, where we're recording this in New York City, we're moving 800 miles an hour due east. You say you feel the need for speed? You already have it. We have airplanes that fly 550 miles an hour in the air. That's speed, way faster than any automobile in a car race. So what do they mean? It's not speed they want. They want acceleration. Acceleration is a change in your speed.
But that doesn't rhyme with anything.
I tried.
What rhymes with propulsion?
I have to necessitate to accelerate. I mean, maybe.
You gotcha.
Okay.
So, yeah, it doesn't rhyme.
So making these connections is what this book is really
Yes. So you talk to any fighter pilot. They don't talk about how fast they go. They talk about the barrel rolls they do. These are acceleration. Acceleration is also a change in the direction you're going. They do the bank turn, the 5G turn. Those are all accelerations. Every bit of it. If they're just cruising at 600 miles an hour, that's not the speed they're talking about. At all. I promise you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Before you leave, I know Gandhi wanted to talk to you about beliefs.
Yes.
Oh, please. Please.
So, obviously, with a very scientific mind, you need proof of things to consider them fact. Makes a lot of sense.
Well, to consider them objectively true.
Okay.
Objective would mean we can all agree that that's what's happening. And that's what the tools of methods and tools of science are exquisitely designed to establish. Right.
Do you have blind faith or just faith in anything that you can't see, can't prove, can't quantify with any type of evidence?
So not really. So what I mean by that is, there are things that we know exist, even if science isn't there yet. You know, we feel love, okay? Can science prove that you're in love? Well, not now, but I can imagine experiments in the future where we could, where you look at the neurosynapses of the brain and you see a loved one and then some part of your brain gets fired for that happening. And then we say, is there anything you hate? Yeah, I hate this thing. And you see another part of the brain. So then watch. So then I show you something that you said you loved, okay? No, that you said you hated, but then I actively stimulate the part of your brain that brings love. You say, wait a minute, I changed my mind. I really do love this. That's a scientific experiment I can imagine that would happen in the future. So we would then understand love. I'm not convinced that there's things that happen or that are going on that will forever be out of the reach of science. Given the history of this exercise, consider epilepsy. There was a day people would be afflicted by this, terrible, you know, random firings of your brain, and they'd be writhing on the ground. If you're in a Catholic town and it's 200 years ago or more, people were certain the devil inhabited your body. So what would you do? You would go to the church. You're in a small town. All towns are small. How far away is your church? It's not far. You get there in 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Tell the priest, the devil's in my child or in my husband or in my... All right? The priest gets the robe, the holy water. They go to the place. They bless, okay? And the symptoms go away in just the amount of time it takes an epileptic seizure to go away. So they might see this as evidence that there was a devil and that they cured it, but we know better today. Nobody is saying that who has any kind of scientific medical knowledge at all. If you look at the history of those examples throughout civilization, when people thought it was either magic or God or... Here's one. Benjamin Franklin invents the lightning rod. You know what a lightning rod does? It actually attracts lightning. It does both. It resists lightning, but if it can't resist it, then it attracts it. And in attracting it, it sends it around your structure rather than through it. Okay? Before the lightning rod, lightning strikes the tallest structures in any town. Back then, 1700s, 1800s, what's the tallest building in any town?
The church.
Church. Churches were getting hit by lightning like that. And if you were in a church that didn't get hit, and you pointed to one that did, you say, oh, you're worshiping the wrong God in that church. You got the wrong saints. You got the wrong... Come to our church. That was cited as evidence for the wrath of God. And then we figure out a way to control lightning such that this does not happen. There were some people who who criticized Franklin for thwarting the will of God. And that deeply intrigued me because they're admitting that a chubby hot dog eating beer. I don't know, did he eat hot dogs?
Sure, he did.
If he was around today, he definitely would. He would be one of those guys.
He loved French women. And French wine.
Yeah. Womenizing thing. That this guy outsmarted your God. Is that really what you're saying? Or are you saying maybe God had nothing to do with the lightning and it was just our ignorance? So there's enough of this in the history of civilization that going forward, just because I don't understand something yet, I'm not going to say, therefore, it must be God. Sure. Because the history of that exercise tells me that that should not be your first guess.
But let's take God out of it, right? I totally get that. If we don't understand it, we always attribute it to God because science can't necessarily explain it yet.
It's called the God of the gaps argument. Philosophers call it that.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a great one. But what about something like ghosts or do we have souls? You can't prove really any of that stuff. Do you believe in either of those?
I don't see evidence for it. Ghosts, this is an interesting one. So if everyone, when you die, I presume you only become a ghost after you die, I presume, right?
Who knows?
In ghost lore.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I'm haunting someone right now. That's what they say.
Thank you. So that would mean that there's 100 billion ghosts running around.
Yeah, probably.
Because that's how many dead people there are.
Uh-huh.
In the world. That's how many humans there have ever lived. It might be a little less than that, but that's about that order of magnitude. So it seems to me that it would be a very busy place. And I don't see evidence of that. You know, we all saw the movie Ghost, right? Where the ghosts are moving objects and things. And if there's 100 billion of them, I think there'd be more evidence for them. So that's one argument against it. Another one is, do you have better evidence than what people have put forth? And it's always in some house. I was finally happy when we had the first haunted apartment. Do you know what that was?
No.
It was in Rosemary's Baby.
Okay. Well, the Dakota.
The Dakota. First haunted apartment. And then we had haunted apartments with Ghostbusters.
Right.
It might have been the same damn building. No, but it was on Central Park West in New York City. So I don't see evidence for ghosts. Now, with the soul, by the way, consider science tries to measure stuff.
Yeah, right. They measured the weight of the soul.
No, they didn't. Okay.
Well, they said they did.
Okay. Well, they said they did. Okay. All right. So now watch. There's a movie called 21
Grams. I read it
online.
It's true.
There's 21 Grams.
21 Grams.
Exactly.
Do you know how much that is? Do you have any sense of what 21 grams is?
Drug dealers do.
That's why drug dealers should have been hired by Jimmy Carter to convert us to the metric system. We would have all been in metric from the beginning.
That math is so quick. It's crazy. I know.
Yeah,
because we were
drug dealers are all completely fluent in the metric system.
They swore to us that we were all going metric when I was in school.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. In the day. So, what was I talking about? The 21 grams. Yeah, so 21 grams is about 2/3 of 1 ounce. Do you know how much pee is in you when you die?
Pounds.
I'm going to make sure they measure.
Poop.
Much more than 21 grams.
Okay. Right. Do you realize the weight of water you exhale in a day can fill a glass? I mean, just you know, when you fog a mirror?
Right.
Why does it fog up? Because you're exhaling water. You will dehydrate just by breathing.
So they're saying when we die, we lose 21 grams. They assume that it's our soul,
not anything else coming out of any part of your body. And are their scales precise enough to measure 2/3 of an ounce? Really? Like really? Okay.
There are some.
Okay. Anyway. Yeah, but die on it. Okay. Yeah. But when you die, your sphincter's open. Okay.
Just that's amen. Unfortunate. Which one? We have many sphincters to choose from.
All of them. Okay. Because they're held tight by muscle. You know, okay.
Okay, I'm with you.
Sphincters open. Fluids and solids flow out of your body. All I'm trying to say is that, I was going to give the example that scientists are trying to be scientists. When Wilhelm Röntgen, German physicist, discovered x-rays, he said, wow, this can see into the body. One of the first things people thought to do was x-ray a dying body. to see if you can see the soul rise up out of it. Perfectly legitimate experiment. So they did it and saw nothing. So, yeah, we don't have evidence for soul.
So we're soulless, godless, and ghostless.
I didn't say there was no soul.
You just haven't seen evidence.
I said there's no evidence for it. I don't deny things that I don't know. I just say there's no evidence for it.
This book, for everyone, To Infinity and Beyond, A Journey of Cosmic Discovery.
To Infinity.
And Beyond.
And Beyond.
Journey of Cosmic Discovery. This time we've spent with you is a time we'll never, ever forget.
No way.
Please understand, you really leave quite the footprint here on our sandy beach, and we appreciate
that.
Oh, thank you.
I hope it's a nice foot. I have flat feet, so it's like Bigfoot.
Why are you fucking up my nice thing? I'm sorry.
Okay, if you're going to look for my footprints in the sand, don't look for an arch.
Okay. We'll keep it as simple as that. Having you here is such an honor, and thank you so much for coming in.
Excellent. Thanks. Thanks for having me. And Gandhi, pleased to meet you.
Yeah. Very nice to meet you, too. This was awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Wow, what a podcast. We chatted for almost an hour. It's our longest one yet. And to be honest, we could have had him on for more, but we had to kick him out. That's the beauty of this podcast. We can go on and on and on about so many things, and I'm glad you're here to join us. Thank you, and thanks to my co-host, Gandhi, for joining us. And what an incredible time we spent with Neil deGrasse Tyson. You can pick up his new book, To Infinity and Beyond, A Journey of Cosmic Discovery. It's in stores now, and thank you, Neil, for joining us on the show, and thank you for listening. Remember, rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We always recommend the totally free iHeartRadio app. We'll see you next time. Thinking Out Loud is hosted by me, Elvis Duran. The podcast is produced and edited by Mike Coscarelli. Executive producers are Andrew Puglisi and Katrina Norvell. Special thanks to David Katz, Michael Kindheart, and Caitlin Mador. Thinking Out Loud is part of the Elvis Duran Podcast Network on iHeartRadio. For more, rate, review, and subscribe to our show. And if you like this episode, tell your friends. Until next time, I'm Elvis Duran.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.